Houston's heat and humidity are major performance threats, but they can also become a training advantage when managed with controlled indoor work. The central argument is that outdoor summer training in Houston is often too stressful to use for high-quality intervals, while indoor training provides a safer, more precise way to build heat tolerance, protect workout quality, and improve race day performance. Humidity matters more than temperature alone. When relative humidity rises from about 30% to 70%, running pace can slow by nearly 1 minute per mile, and research suggests humidity can reduce time trial performance by about 3.4%. Above 80% humidity, sweat evaporation becomes nearly impossible, so the body's main cooling system shuts down. Core temperature rises faster, blood plasma volume drops, more blood is diverted to the skin, and heart rate climbs to compensate. The result is cardiovascular drift. The athlete feels much harder even when power or pace stays the same. Houston's urban environment makes this worse. The city's heat island effect can make daytime temperatures 1 to 7 degrees F higher than surrounding areas, with nighttime temperatures still 2 to 5 degrees F elevated. Asphalt, concrete, and roofing materials absorb heat during the day and radiate it back later. Dense development, limited airflow, and lack of tree cover trap heat along many popular training routes. Because of this, weather forecasts often understate the real thermal stress athletes face. Indoor training solves several problems at once. It removes unpredictable heat, wind, traffic, and terrain. It allows athletes to control temperature, intensity, and recovery. It reduces heat illness risk while preserving the ability to hit target power and pace. Most importantly, it creates a controlled environment for heat acclimation, progressive exposure that builds tolerance without forcing the body into dangerous outdoor conditions. Heat acclimation is physiologically straightforward, but requires consistency. The body develops most cardiovascular and sweating adaptations within 6 to 10 days of regular heat exposure. A full protocol usually takes 10 to 14 days. For triathletes, a heat block should ideally begin about 3 weeks before a major race, with at least 10 sessions within 14 days. Well-trained athletes may only need 3 days of recovery after a pre-race heat block, while less-trained athletes may need 5 to 6 days. Effective active heat sessions are low intensity. A typical protocol is 60 to 75 minutes of easy indoor exercise in temperatures above 30 degrees C or 86 degrees F. Intensity should stay around 40 to 50% of VO2 max, essentially zone 1 to low zone 2. The goal is not to train hard. It is to raise core and skin temperature enough to trigger sweating and increased skin blood flow. Core temperature should stay around 38.5 to 39 degrees C, or 101.3 to 102, 2 degrees F. Going much higher creates fatigue and impairs recovery. Indoor cycling is especially useful because it allows heat exposure with minimal airflow. Athletes can use a warm room without fans or add thermal layers to trap heat. Heart rate will often rise 10 to 20 beats per minute above normal for the same power output. That is expected and is a sign of thermal strain, not poor fitness. Sessions should last 60 to 90 minutes for adapted athletes. Hydration during these sessions should be 500 to 700 ml per hour, increasing toward 1 liter per hour in hotter conditions. The point is to sweat heavily, not to avoid fluid loss. Passive heat methods also work. Post-exercise sauna bathing can provide real heat adaptation without adding training load. Enter a dry sauna set to 185 to 195 degrees F within 5 minutes of finishing a workout. Start with 20 minutes and build toward 30 to 35 minutes over several days. Studies show that runners who used post-exercise sauna sessions 3 times per week for 3 weeks had lower peak rectal temperature, lower skin temperature, and reduced heart rate during heat tolerance tests. Hot water immersion at about 40 degrees C or 104 degrees F also works. 5 weeks of hot water immersion increased hemoglobin mass and blood volume compared with controls, which can support endurance performance. Monitoring core temperature is important. Rectal temperature remains the gold standard, but wearable sensors such as the core device can be practical, with accuracy around plus or minus 0.26 degrees C. These sensors can underestimate core temperature in high wind conditions, so outdoor readings need caution. Heat adaptations fade if not maintained. They decay at roughly 2.5% per day without continued exposure. After an initial 10 to 14 day block, athletes should schedule maintenance sessions every 3 to 4 days. One 120-minute exercise heat exposure every 5 days can sustain heart rate and core temperature adaptations for a month. A single long sauna session every 10 days can maintain benefits for up to 6 weeks. Timing is critical. Heat training should not be layered onto the hardest workouts. High-quality intervals should be done in cool, controlled conditions. Heat exposure should be added to easy sessions. If Houston's heat index climbs above 32 degrees C or 90 degrees F, move indoors. Threshold work, brick workouts, and race-specific efforts should be protected. Easy outdoor exposure can still be done in cooler morning or evening windows, but the most intense sessions should not be sacrificed to build heat tolerance. Intensity must also be adjusted. Hot weather eliminates personal best attempts. Pace, power, and performance will naturally decline. Heat sessions should stay easy, around zone 1 to low zone 2, using heart rate or rate of perceived exertion rather than chasing pace. Once adapted, occasional moderate zone 3 work can be used, but high-intensity intervals belong in cooler conditions. Heart rate zones do not change, but the effort required to stay in them does. Heat raises heart rate even at the same pace. For every 5 degrees F above 60 degrees F, heart rate tends to climb. A heart rate 5 to 10 beats per minute above normal for the same pace signals heat-related cardiovascular strain. A 1.5% body weight loss from dehydration can raise heart rate by about 7 beats per minute. In those conditions, slowing down or extending recovery is better than fighting the numbers. Hydration is a key part of the strategy. The gut absorbs fluid at a limited rate, roughly 600 ml per hour. Drinking more than that can cause stomach distension and pull blood away from working muscles. Frequent small sips are better than large chugs. Gastric emptying can reach about 15 to 20 ml per minute, or roughly 1 liter per hour, if fluid intake is steady. Sodium matters as much as water. Sweat rates can range from 0.3 to 2.4 liters per hour, and sweat sodium content averages about 1 gram per liter. In humid Texas heat, electrolyte replacement is essential. Sports drinks with sodium between 10 and 30 mmol/L, or 230 to 690 mg/L, support absorption and reduce hyponatremia risk. For sessions over 90 minutes, target 300 to 500 mg of sodium per hour in moderate heat and 700 to 1000 mg per hour in very hot, humid conditions. Prehydration and recovery hydration are also important. Athletes should drink about 5 to 7 ml per kilogram of body weight at least 4 hours before exercise. If urine is still dark 2 hours before training, add another 3 to 5 ml per kilogram. After training, replace 150% of body weight lost within 4 to 6 hours. If an athlete loses 2 pounds, they need about 1.5 liters to fully rehydrate. Indoor sessions are ideal for testing this. Weigh in before and after, estimate sweat loss, and check clothing for salt streaks. Race day preparation depends on translating indoor work into performance. Athletes who complete 10 to 14 days of heat acclimation show lower core temperature, reduced cardiovascular strain, and improved power output in hot events. These adaptations can persist for 2 to 4 weeks, which is enough to cover a race window. Cooling strategies provide measurable gains. Pre-cooling can improve performance by about 5.7%, while mid-race cooling can improve it by about 9.9%. Cold water immersion for 10 to 20 minutes before racing increases heat sink capacity. Ice slushies can lower core temperature from the inside. During the race, pouring water over the head, neck, and shoulders at aid stations reduces skin temperature and sweat demand. Ice towels on the neck can limit core temperature rise by about 0.7 degrees C. Equipment choices also matter. Carry an extra bike bottle. Wear light-colored, moisture-wicking clothing that reflects solar radiation. Fill a hat or visor with ice at aid stations. Apply sunscreen before the swim and after transitions, because sunburned skin increases heat stress. Mental preparation is equally important. Hot racing requires segmenting the course, focusing on the next aid station, and accepting discomfort as normal. Athletes should slow pace by 15 to 30 seconds per mile, based on conditions, and anchor effort to perceived strain rather than time. Pre-planned self-talk, such as steady and strong or one station at a time, helps maintain composure under pressure. The key takeaway is that Houston's climate should not be treated as an obstacle to avoid, but as a condition to train for. Indoor training allows athletes to build heat tolerance safely, protect high-quality workouts, and enter race day with physiological advantages. The best approach is simple. Do hard intervals in cool, controlled environments. Use easy indoor sessions for heat exposure. Add passive heat methods such as sauna or hot baths. Maintain adaptations with regular maintenance sessions, and use precise hydration, sodium, and cooling strategies on race day. Done correctly, Houston's heat becomes a competitive edge rather than a performance limiter.